It's here and now. After all the dysfunction we have seen recently in Washington, there are a lot of people asking questions about what would make the system work better. Last week, former Republican Congressman Mickey Edwards told us the parties have too much power, and he said there needs to be stricter limits on campaign donations. After that conversation, we heard from a listener named Roberta Palmer in Portland, Oregon, who had her own ideas, including increasing the number of members of Congress and increasing the term of members of Congress from 2 years to 4 years. That, she said, would get lawmakers to focus more on policy than politics. Jack Rakove is a professor of history, American studies, and political science at Stanford University, and he's with us now to discuss. Professor, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's start with the idea of increasing the size of the House of Representatives, increasing the number of representatives. Is that something that's possible?
Well, saying what's possible politically these days is very difficult, but you know, there's no constitutional barrier to it. The size of 435 members of the House was set almost exactly a century ago by statute. It's always subject to revision. The House could be made smaller. It could be made larger. You could pick any number you like.
Well, do you think that it would help if there were more members and there were fewer constituents for each member?
I think it would help in some ways. For one thing, it would have a significant impact on the representation of urban and suburban populations. That sounds a little strange to say at the outset, but in fact, liberal left voters tend to be more highly concentrated in urban areas than conservative voters are in rural areas. And what that means is, in some ways, that rural areas are overrepresented in terms of their political preferences, and urban areas are underrepresented. So if, in fact, you increase the size of the House of Representatives, beneficiaries would include metropolitan areas in particular. So they would probably shift the ideological spectrum in the House of Representatives somewhat more to the left.
And we should say that the German Bundestag has more than 600 members. The House of Commons in the United Kingdom has 450. We, of course, have 435. I'm not sure. They probably would have to get a different room in the Capitol if they were to increase the number substantially.
Well, yes and no, because, you know, you have to remember that the whole House of Representatives hardly ever meets as a deliberative body. I mean, they have to get together to vote. But, you know, the number of prolonged debates that one used to see in the 19th century, that's essentially a thing of the past. Most of the real deliberation is done in committees. I mean, I sometimes worry that people in Washington, D.C. would, be critical of increasing the size of the House and all the employees that would lead to just because of its impact on the, you know, the urban structure. But that shouldn't be our concern.
And what about this other idea from Roberta that we increase the term of members of the House to 4 years from 2 years?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting idea that's worth considering. So one obvious defense of it is that it would slightly ameliorate the way in which no sooner does a member come to the House than he immediately starts running for re-election. And so if you care about this from the perspective of campaign finance and, you know, what a corrupting system that has become, something which increases the span of a term might be moderately helpful. Of course, we also know, though, if you look at the Senate, where they run in 6-year terms, that doesn't stop senators from being, you know, continuous, you know, seekers of money from the day they're elected. I think the more interesting question actually ties to thinking about how this would affect the coordination between the executive branch and Congress. Hmm. If we went to 4-year terms, it would probably coincide with the presidential election cycle. That's to say, we wouldn't have, you know, representatives elected in the so-called off-year elections. So the president of the House of Representatives would run simultaneously. The interesting question to ask there, and it's hard to know what the answer would be, is might that bring about closer coordination between the presidential candidate and congressional candidates? If you had both offices being contested simultaneously, and if presidents understood, or presidential candidates understood, that their political fate, the success of their administration, would depend upon what kind of outcome they had in the House of Representatives, it might make it possible to start nationalizing campaigns for the House a bit more. If you like the idea of parliamentary democracy, which many critics of the American Constitution do, that could be a terrific idea.
Although that would require a constitutional amendment, unlike increasing the number of representatives in the House, right?
Yes, it would definitely require a constitutional amendment.
While we're talking about the number of representatives in Congress, what about the Senate? A lot of people, especially in places like California, wonder why it makes sense for them to only have two senators, while a state like Wyoming has two senators and a much smaller population.
Well, it makes sense because that was the original deal that was struck at the Constitutional Convention on July 16, 1787. I mean, I've spent a lot of my scholarly life talking about this issue, and if there were one thing I could change about the American Constitution, I would get rid of the equal state vote tomorrow. And, James Madison would have done the same thing if it were all possible. But, of course, that's the only clause of the Constitution that you can't reach by Article 5 Amendment, because no state can be deprived of its equal vote in the Senate without its consent. So it's a terrible idea, and it does produce some pretty significant consequences in terms of which interests are favored and which interests are disfavored, but we're stuck with it.
What do you think about term limits? I want to play you something that Mickey Edwards told us last week. He did not like the idea of having term limits for members of Congress.
Well, I have a problem with that. I think, you know, what you do when you have a term limit is you're saying to the voters in a community, if you have a senator or representative who has done a very good job, is watching out for your community, is representing you well, then all of a sudden you can't choose that person anymore.
And this is a guy who was very in favor of campaign finance reform and very in favor of getting rid of gerrymandering of districts.
Well, I know Mickey from a couple of projects, and I have to say I agree with him 100%. You know, the way public opinion on term limits works is most Americans like it when they think about Congress in general, but they don't like it when they think about their own representatives
right. In
particular. So there's I don't want to say that's hypocrisy, but there is a kind of inconsistency in how ordinary citizens think about it. Secondly, I think we want to have representatives who are trained to the task. On the whole, I believe, even with all the corruption in the re-election system, on the whole, I think we gain in important ways from having an experienced body of lawmakers. So I think the real problem has to do less with term limits than it is with trying to open up competition, you know, at the district level, with making races for House seats much more competitive. It has much more to do with the way in which redistricting systems work within the states. And I think this is a position that James Madison, with whom I spent a lot of time intellectually, would agree, is that, you know, we want people who are knowledgeable in their office, and term limits would work against that.
Jack Rakove, professor of history, American studies, and political science at Stanford University. Professor, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me on.
And if you've got ideas to fix Washington, let us know at hereandnow.org, and maybe we'll have the professor back on to tell you what he thinks of them. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Charles River Apparel. Over a quarter century of creating apparel for corporations and athletic teams based in New England and family-owned. Learn more at charlesriverapparel.com. And Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login at constantcontact.com.